twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's and my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if they head right,
nigga, that air night.
Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to bruise, cruise, who do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us.
Life after death, bro.
Yeah, man.
They're still talking to us from the grave. It's fucked up. The cover of that album is the hearse with him next to it. Doesn't it look like a ghost or some shit?
Yeah, man. They I mean, the whole idea of that album being that is wild, you know?
Yeah.
One of the songs is "You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Like,
it's fucking crazy. Bro, I'm going to make like all my comedy albums like named after death and stuff, and just the covers are going to be like me in a coffin.
So everyone's
so
like,
when I die, people are going to be like, maybe he's still alive.
He knew he was going to die.
Nobody is questioning if Biggie's dead. They're right. All like, no, he's dead.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking Andy Kaufman. And Andy Kaufman. And Jeffrey Epstein. Those are the three.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Augustino did kill himself.
What if Tupac and Epstein and Andy Kaufman are just hanging out?
Oh, man. Why would they want to hang out with Epstein?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, bro. He knows how to get the bitches.
other than that.
Oh, man. Anyway, welcome to the Homeschool Podcast, you guys. This is going to be fun. I want to welcome back our guest, Nick Guerra. Thanks for returning to the podcast. It's always great to have you on, and it's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
And I want to welcome back our co-host, Kevin Lyons.
Hey. Where'd he go?
Where did you go?
I don't know.
I feel like you've missed a couple.
Probably.
You definitely weren't here for the last one because it was a solo, and the one before that because you weren't feeling well.
I was moving.
Was it?
And then before that, you were moving, yeah. So you've been off and on.
Was it just you all by yourself here talking to yourself?
Well, I think I did one with I did one with Rich Slayton without Kevin, and then I did a solo podcast, which is just me.
Whoa.
But I do those maybe once a month anyway.
And what do you do?
I have like a list of topics that I want to talk about, and I just fucking talk just about them.
Okay.
I just go.
All right.
The first time I ever did one, bro, it was really nerve-wracking. I have an idea in my head, like when you come on, of what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But when I'm by myself, I actually have to like write them down.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I get you.
I go over it, and then sometimes I feel like I'm being repetitive on the topic.
Yeah.
Like I'm just keep saying the same thing over and over
again.
Yeah.
Some people don't know that.
And I'm just like, well, it's because there's no other guest here to go back and forth with, so I just keep saying.
You're trying
it.
To fill an hour.
Try to fill an hour. Yeah. I played the whole song in the beginning.
Yeah. And you're like, man, why did I choose the topic of why does McDonald's not give us enough ketchup?
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't know.
I mean, I try to always do at least a 40-minute episode minimum.
Yeah.
And the solo podcast, which came out earlier this week, was like 55 minutes, bro.
Dang.
Yeah.
Motherfucker could talk to himself.
I can talk. Well, I had some shit on my mind, dude.
Dang.
I had some shit I had to get off my chest.
And how much of it was repetitive?
Maybe a little bit, but I think I got the point across.
To yourself? Good.
Yeah. I got the point across to myself. So thank you guys for tuning into the Homeschool Podcast. I know you got a lot of options for podcasts, so we really appreciate you stopping by here. And before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Masterclass, don't forget, they are still our sponsors, and we're proud to have them. I love Masterclass because, I mean, it's making it convenient and accessible for people who have a dream or they want to learn something, and it's never been easier to better yourself at your craft or educate yourself in something that you're interested in. And it's always been hard because you can't find the time or the money to do so. But now you can take a class in the comfort of your own home. And the best part is that it's on your own schedule. So all you got to do, you guys, is just check it out. That's all I'm asking you. Just take a look at all the different classes that they offer. Click the link in the description and sign up today for Masterclass. You can sign up for a couple different classes, or you can just do the entire year and have access to the entire website for a year and take a couple if you're interested in a couple. They got comedy classes, writing, acting, filmmaking, directing. I mean, and not just there. I mean, they even have like, you know, how to be a better poker player. They've got, you know, script writing. I mean, you name it. They got a cooking classes. It's all on there. It's fun, and it's easy, and it's affordable. So just go ahead and click the link in the description. Also, this episode is brought to you by Embrace Pet Insurance. All right, you guys, all you got to do is get a quote. That's all I'm asking you. I can't stress enough the importance of insurance for your pet, okay? It's just as important as it is for you, because your pet – is I know a lot of people, they love their pet just like it's like a part of the family, you know what I mean? So like, you never know what's going to happen. Just as easily they can get an illness or something. Those vet bills ain't no joke. It's always good to have something. Listen, guys, there's different plans. There's different prices for different pets. All you got to do is go get a quote. That's all I'm telling you. Click the link in the description. It'll take you right to the page to get a quote. It's fast and it's easy. You're doing yourself and your pet a favor, and you're helping out the Homeschooled Podcast. Speaking of which, head over to homeschooledpod.com where you can click on merch and see all the t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. We just added today a duffel bag, dude. You can get a gym bag, a Homeschool Podcast gym bag, which, bro, I ordered one. I'm excited to get that. Nice. Now I'm going to have to start going to the gym. You can also click on tour and see all the upcoming dates. Let's see what I got going on next. Actually, I'm not sure because I have something tomorrow. I'm at the Comedy Store tomorrow, but this actually comes out Friday, so that's not going to work. But anyway, head over to homeschoolpod.com, click on tour. There's a couple of tour dates up there, and that's pretty much all I got for you guys right now. We're going to have a fun episode with our guest Nick Guerra. Kevin Lyons is here. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschooled Podcast.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all. Welcome back, Nick Guerra.
Yeah, man.
It's so good to see you, bro. Before the podcast, we were talking about, like stories, but the crazy stories.
When people don't know that their story isn't that great.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that. But I didn't want to bring that up. Yeah. But what I was going to bring up is is like when you watch something crazy go on outside, that's like the best entertainment.
Oh yeah, you know yeah, definitely.
Mean?
Yeah.
Like you can turn the TV off, like mm-hmm. I mean it's different now. Everything's streaming cuz you can pause anything anyway.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was a kid, it was like excitement of watching a television show that you liked watching and you waited every week for it to come out and you couldn't pause it. You know, no. You had to wait for the commercial to find out what happens next. But bro, something was going on outside. You guys remember just fucking you didn't give a shit about the TV.
See
yeah.
the cop lights
you
going
see
on.
See cop lights.
You just stare.
It, dude, one
or
time,
car accident.
When I was a teenager, I remember I was sleeping on my parents' couch. Like I started sleeping on my parents' couch probably from like the age of 11 until I moved out. Okay. When I was 18, because we had a small two-bedroom apartment and I had sisters, so I just finally gave the room to my sisters and I just slept on the couch growing up. So I remember one time, it was like around the holidays, and in the middle of the night I just heard some noises and it was raining, and I like woke up and I heard the rain and I heard some noises, and I looked, like, you know, from the window, even though the blinds are closed, you can see lights kind of flickering, and I opened the window, dude. It must have been like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's just pouring rain, and no bullshit, bro. There's like fucking so many cop cars, and there was like SWAT teams, like, you know, the big trucks that say SWAT on it. Like there was like one of those, and there was tons of cop cars coming from around the sides of my apartment building, like guns drawn. I'm like, what the fuck was going on? Like, mm-hmm. I never found out what happened. I kind of think that the guy across the street was getting arrested. I think they raided him because he was kind of known for selling drugs and shit.
Yeah.
But, when you were telling that story before we started, it just reminded me of that, like the craziness. And I was just awake. I was like 4 a.m. I'm like, well, I'm not going to sleep now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to watch and see how this goes down.
Yeah, because you're like, you're theorizing. What could have been? You know? Yeah, I think it was a line of dudes handcuffed and three cop cars outside of my apartment.
Damn.
Complex.
Yeah. A line of dudes. And then, you know, you want to wake somebody up. Like, I wanted to wake up like my family and be like, because no one's going to believe you.
Well, I mean, the idea is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, like, well, you said it was across the street. Across the street.
Well, the guy lived across the street.
Yeah.
But they were coming from around my building, like the side of my building.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, like, if it was your neighbor, your family would have been more into it.
Oh,
across the street neighbors, there's that distance where it's like, you're not really neighbors.
Well, I think I was worried about them believing. Like,
or
behind
the house
You don't even know their name. You just know them by some weird way that you can describe them.
Yeah.
I think that they would have believed me. It was just like, you know, some people think that you're exaggerating, though. Like, yeah, we believe you. There was cop cars outside. It's like, no, guys, there were SWATs with guns drawn.
Okay,
like, you know what I mean? Like, you see in a movie. You know what I mean? It was
okay.
Just.
Well, that was like when my friends were living in Watertown, Massachusetts after the Boston Marathon. marathon bomber.
Like a real town. Watertown. Already I'm doubting this story.
No, you remember the Boston Marathon bomber, right? Yeah. When they were running through this, they locked that city down, and they caught him in Watertown.
Yeah,
and,
that's
like,
right.
All my I had a bunch of friends living there, and they were like taking pictures outside. Like, you had to stay inside, and you see the SWAT guys like chasing the guy down. It was crazy. The shootout and everything.
Wow.
And didn't they find the younger brother in Watertown too?
They found him. Yeah, they found him.
He was in the neighborhood.
No, he was hiding in somebody's boat in their backyard.
Yeah, he was hiding in someone's boat. Yeah.
Okay, was Watertown what the movie The Town was based on?
No, that was what was it? I'm just
kidding. The Town is based on not Concord.
Charleston.
I think it is
Charleston.
Which was like the number one like bank robbing town in the world or something like that.
Why would they have banks there anymore after that?
Well, it had like the most bank robberies, and that's why they did the movie about that town.
I wonder why.
I don't know. The people that lived there. I mean, the brothers that fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know,
it's easy to arm an armored truck back then, I guess.
Dude, I heard a crazy story today. I'm on that Nextdoor app.
Well, yeah, what is that? I just saw somebody post it. What the fuck is it?
What is Nextdoor app?
Yeah, what the hell is it?
Well, Nextdoor app is just an app where you communicate with your neighbors. Like
weird.
You put the zone that you live in, and then you'll see all the people in your neighborhood
that are also on the app.
Yeah, and everybody can talk to each other. I mean, I mostly am on it because I love the responses from people and how people just shit on each other like everything else on the internet. And I mostly got it to like communicate because, you know, my wife is here alone all day and I just want to see what's going on in the neighborhood. And there's always crazy, creepy shit. Like, you know, some chick was like, I'm jogging, and like this guy was following me in his car, and I'm like, fuck, like my wife jogs there, you know?
Yeah.
But then like the responses has just kept me on the app. Like, it's just, it's great. People just like, you know, shaming each other. But dude, I saw a crazy story today that right here on Ventura Boulevard, this lady said that a pit bull fucking attacked her little dog, and the little dog is like in critical condition, dude. Oh, it's like in the hospital. It's got like skin ripped off of its leg, several puncture wounds, it lost a lot of blood. They said that, like, you know, it's gonna be in the hospital for like several days if it makes it at all. It's on painkiller. It's fucking crazy, bro. Stories like that get me like so furious, dude. Like, pet owners are so fucking irresponsible. Like, why are you like, if you have...
Did she rub the tiny dog in peanut butter?
I didn't mean that.
And that's
owner.
Why the pit bull is. I
meant the pit bull.
I was gonna say,
owner.
Was it a chihuahua? Because if it was a chihuahua,
I don't know what
care.
It was. I don't know what it was, but it was. It just fucking stuck with me today, man. I felt like really bad about it because I have a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my pit bull doesn't get along with dogs. Mm-hmm. And I specifically don't bring it in public places like that. And I'm like so nervous about it. And I'm so like alert when I take him on walks. Like, I got a little snout thing when I walk him on long walks so he doesn't pull and he can't like get it at anybody. And I don't have my phone out. And I fucking tell my wife, like, stop texting while you're walking the dog. Like, you got to pay attention. You never know. Like, in a second, dude, something could happen. Somebody's like, your dog's on a leash, but somebody's little dog could be off leash and just run out of the house or something. Yeah. You got to pay attention.
Yeah.
It just pisses me off because, like, the heading of it was just like pit bull attack. And I'm like, man, that just bothers me so much. I mean, it was a pit bull, but it's like, dude, like.
Well, was it a pit bull or was it pit bull?
It was pit bull, bro.
No, was it pit bull?
Oh, it wasn't like.
The
Cuban rapper. It wasn't Mr. 305. It was a beep. Dude, I don't know. It just fucking like bothers me because, like, you know, there's pit bulls that are like really good dogs and like really sweet. Like, my dog is like so sweet with people, you know what I mean? And like and it's not fair that he had like a shitty fucking whoever raised him at probably try to fight him or something. Yeah. Like, you know, so I just do a really good job of isolating him. But like, there's these dumb people. Like, don't get a pit bull or don't take
definitely.
Like a fucking aggressive animal and you don't know shit about how to fucking tame your animal. You're just going to let him loose on Ventura Boulevard.
You know, man, the craziest part about living in the world is realizing how irresponsible a lot of people
are. Of course. Everyone.
How terrible and dumb people really are.
Yeah.
I was, because I work with kids, and one time I was with this family working at a park, and one of the kids I was working with, he saw like a little dog. It was a little dog. And its owner was like maybe 15 feet away on the phone, and the dog was off leash. And my client's little sister went over to go pet it, and the lady just was like, "Oh no, he's not good with kids." It's just like, why did you bring it to a park and then take it off the leash by children and then just go on your phone?
He's not good
with
kids.
What the hell?
So let him loosen Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it's just like, what the hell is wrong with people?
People are just so stupid, man. I mean, yeah, I have a dog who is not great with other animals. So, I mean, he's great with people. He's great with kids. So I wait until like fucking midnight and I bring him to the park.
Yeah.
And I lock him in the tennis court in the gate. Yeah. And I go in there with him and I throw the ball for him so he can do it. Like, that's how I take my dog to the park.
Yeah.
No one's at the park. And if they are, my dog's in the gate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you know your dog is fucked up with kids, like, don't take him to the park.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And if you do, you got to do it like that, late at night with a gate.
Yeah.
People are just so irresponsible.
And then be on your phone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to be on your phone with your dog,
you got to be at a gate.
Go to a gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucking stupid. But
your dog has some serious street rep, though. I mean, like, he's in isolation. It's like in prison. They're just by themselves walking in the yard. He gets an hour yard time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
bro. Keeps fighting with the other prisoners.
Man, you should have to, like, take a test before you can adopt a dog.
Yeah.
Especially a pit bull.
Yeah.
And then if you pass that test, then you should be allowed to take another test to see if you can have kids.
But at the same time, it's so hard. Like, they're trying so hard to get people to adopt dogs. They're just, like, taking them.
I know.
Because there's so many of them.
And there's so many pit bulls.
These dogs aren't being adopted. They're being bought by people who breed pit bulls.
Possibly. Yeah. There's that, too. They're being bought. There's half that.
Yeah.
And then there's half that, like, they were bred into fighting.
Into that.
And then someone rescued it. Or someone dumped it at a pound, and then some you rescued it from the pound or something like that. Yeah. And there's a lot of pit bulls at the pound, man. That's like all it is. So, like, it's a different kind of animal. It ain't a golden retriever when you get a fucking pit bull, dude. Like, you have to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You got to come from, like, a background. You should have to take, like, a test. It's like it's like buying a gun. If you're going to buy a gun, you have to take the test. You have to fill out the form. Yeah. You have to wait, like, 60 days or whatever it is.
Yeah, you're right.
A pit bull is a fucking gun. I mean, Bill Burr has a joke about it when he got the pit bull for the first. He's like having a pit bull is like having a gun you can pet, and that's 100% true, dude.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that they're all weapons, but some of them, they come from some shady backgrounds and they're trying to have a second chance at life. And it's like, dude, it's like a gun. Like, you should have to fucking
take
a test. It was crazy because we were
watching your dog over the weekend.
Yeah.
And like, he's such a happy, friendly dog, but he is a pit bull. And you can, even when you hear him eating his food, you can hear his jaw like an alligator.
Yeah.
And he was so excited to see us, and like, he'd jump on us and it was hard to control him. It's just like, man, could you imagine if he was just in a bad mood? Like, you know, like, we wouldn't be able to stop him if he went after us. It's luckily, he thinks we're awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, I lived with a pit bull for a little bit.
Yeah. They're great dogs.
Yeah, they're good dogs.
They're loyal. They're smart.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just sad that they're like bred for the wrong thing, like stupid people.
It's just bad reputation dog, man.
We need a lot of tests in this world. Everything should be, you should not have to do it.
It's true.
Without taking a test.
Honestly, yes.
Right.
Yes.
You got to pass like a certain percentage for everything.
Yeah.
Because you're a pit bull owner, where do you think all that aggression that people relate to pit bulls like comes from? Because I heard that it was because sometimes their brains grow a little bit bigger than their skull and then get easily irritated.
Nah, I don't think it has anything to do with that. No.
It's just the way they're built.
That's it. Bro, honestly, that's what it is. Yeah. You know, like,
it's also genes.
They get their bad reputation from the past mishandling of dogs.
Yes.
See, the idea of dogs being as loved as they are now probably didn't kick in until like the 1940s, if you really think about it, or 50s, because before that it was mostly, you know, I got a dog, but he stays outside, we don't bring him in, he's there to guard, I got a hunting dog. People weren't really in love with pets back in the day, and it's very apparent when you hear like grandfathers and grandmothers talk about dogs. They're like, oh, we just shot it. Oh yeah, it was a good dive, we just killed it. Like, there's not the attachment or the care or the training.
I was born in the 80s, dude, and I can remember hearing stories like that.
That's because that it was still in that generation. So the idea of a pit bull, you know, it looks like a built vicious dog, perfect for dog fighting, and that's where it gets its reputation from. You know, I mean, people want to put fucking chains on it, and they want to walk around with this intimidating dog. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it's just a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They, It comes from, like, yeah, the way that they look and the way that their jawline is built, they were bred to fight. It was bred for, like, game.
Yeah.
You know, and the people continue to breed it. It's for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's like a bloodline, and they're, it's always in their DNA. Now, there's tons of pitbulls that were just never raised to be like that.
They
and
bred
it still might even be in their blood.
Yeah, because they bred aggressive breeds with it. You know, it's an aggressive dog, so they keep breeding the aggressive ones.
And then it didn't help.
Like, if your body's built like that, nature's going to take in at some point, you know? Like, if you're like, even like cats, like, you know, cat, they're just natural hunters.
But you can't say that, like, all pitbulls, like, there's some that they just did that instinct never came through, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's, you know, I got people in my family that have like paranoid schizophrenia, and some of our ancestors ended up with a little bit of it, and then some of us didn't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, they're not all gonna have it.
It's lifestyle, it's what kicks it in, mm-hmm. and this and that,
and the lifestyle, right?
Yeah,
exactly, dude. It's just you know, it didn't help that like all these rap videos were all having like pit bulls on the chains and shit like that. That just made like the people in the fighting community like do it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that was like the badass dog to have. For a while it was Rottweilers, and then it became pit bulls.
Yeah, it's just like when you see dudes that look like thugs, and usually they turn out to be, because they're like, yeah, I'm a big guy, so I'm just here to beat up people. I wasn't made to make ceramic vases. I'm a big guy. I want to do art.
Yeah.
I met a biker once named Doug the Thug.
Doug the Thug.
Yeah,
yeah, man. That's great. Motherfucker's thumb was big.
His thumb?
Well, he had like big hands, but his thumb, like, he picked me up for a skit. It was he was in the Banditos, right, in Austin, and it left a bruise. I was like, this motherfucker is a thug. Thank
Does
God
that mean
he knows
bandit
that I'm
in Spanish?
Comedian. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. The Banditos.
I thought you were going to mean like Doug the Thumb. I'm like, that should be his nickname, Doug the
No,
Thumb,
he just had
Doug.
Big hands. But the bruise his thumb left on my arm, on my little tiny arm.
That's crazy.
Dude, I've been wanting to maybe like work on a bit about how we should take tests for stuff. You know,
yeah.
About certain, like, basically what I was just talking about. I wasn't just trying to bit on you guys. I mean, I really do believe
here's the thing, man. It's a great, intelligent bit.
It's not funny.
Americans are not bred for great, intelligent bits about how wonderful tests would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean,
man, doesn't it
they're not
going to
agree with
when you
it.
Do a bit and you're like, this is an actually fun, intelligent, funny bit,
yeah.
But you guys are just that. You're just not ready for that idea.
Mm, totally.
Your brain cannot process it.
Dude, all the time.
Yeah. and it just hasn't sat.
This is not something that we want to talk about. It's just like, you know.
Yeah.
But like, it's a real thing, and I'm talking about it.
Well,
and I'm making valid points about
it. All you can do is do it and let
for
it
that,
exist.
Yeah. I want to take that concept to voting.
Yeah.
I think it's so stupid that we vote based off of an age.
Yeah. Because
I know a lot of really stupid 40-year-olds.
Yeah, you're right.
That
you're
shouldn't
right.
be voting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know a couple of 18-year-olds that are very bright. Very, very bright.
The fix
and have
is
a
either with
future.
Voting. You either do that, make tests, or you make it a national holiday. That way people have time off.
What do you mean? Oh,
yeah, I can't believe it's not
That's
a national holiday.
One. Well,
to
they
vote?
Don't want that.
That's crazy.
They don't want you to – they don't want to make it easy to vote. They want the people who are usually retired and already stuck in their ways,
mm-hmm.
they want them to be able to vote. They don't want anybody who's working and dealing with wages now and dealing with health care issues and can't get off of work and can't find time to go vote, because that's the change.
And
it's
your
like,
work
why do you
is
want
supposed
that?
To give you the time off to go vote,
yeah.
like an hour, I think, to
yeah,
go vote. But like,
know,
it's not going to take an hour. And once people are going to be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drive over there on my lunch break and fucking come back to work. Like,
and almost how many jobs are actually that generous?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like maybe... Yeah, how many...
I mean, they have
what,
to
what's
do
the,
it, though.
I know, but think about it.
Who's going to actually
Who's
do
gonna,
it?
Who's going to... Okay, so they have to do it. You think motherfucking the dude that owns a smoke shop is just going to
yeah.
is gonna let his one
but
employee
can't
go?
Can't you mail it in now? I think you can mail in your vote
you
now.
You can mail, yeah. Okay, but once again...
Like,
if
you
do
it
you
early
think?
On. Yeah.
But also, that's not going to happen.
I gotta go buy a stamp.
That's also not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All of these things are set up to stop people from voting.
Yeah.
You
they
know?
Should just, like...
They just know people.
make the stamps the face of the candidates.
Done.
And whoever you, whatever stamp you
Speaking
use.
Speaking of that, I just saw a viral picture online of this grandmother who sent her grandson a letter, but she didn't use the stamp. She used a sticker, and they still mailed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny.
Man, right? I have a 22-year-old niece, and she has a tattoo on her chest of a guy's name.
Oh, I thought of a postage stamp.
No. She has a tattoo of her chest of a guy's name who she's never dated. And she is currently pregnant with a different dude's baby who she also doesn't date.
Yeah.
She's 22 years old.
Who is this?
My niece.
And she's voting?
Okay. She's, well, she's legally allowed to. So, I mean, I just don't think that it should be based on an age.
This is what we should
have. It should be based on a test. You should have to take a test.
Well, then who comes up with the qualification of a test to say that you're able to vote? Because then all
I mean, who comes up with any of the qualifications that we have?
Do you believe in religion? You're not allowed to vote.
This is how America should vote. Right? We all get Batman spotlight in our front yard, right? Election night. If you want to vote for the Democratic candidate, you point it to the left, and it shines up one side of the sky. And whatever sky is brighter, they're like, oh, that's
one light is blue and one light is red.
Yep, there it is. That's the candidate.
That's very similar to how they do it in Rome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's it called where the Pope lives?
The Vatican.
At the Vatican.
That's how they do it there.
That's like when they choose a new pope.
That's when they choose a new pope.
That's how they let people know that they chose it.
Yeah.
And they burn something in the fireplace.
Did you know this?
No.
Oh, okay. They burn something in the fireplace. I believe if it's
white or black.
I think if it's white, that means they have a new pope. And if it's black, it means they don't have a new pope.
Interesting.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, and the only reason why you would have black is because that they haven't been able to come up with a decision. Like, they're all voting.
Dude, that's
And then it didn't have any results, so they go black, and then they keep trying to figure it out.
How do you hear about, like, I guess they're all tuned into their community, so, you know, all of the bishops are like, we know what priest is on the rise.
Yeah. But the people don't vote for him. It's the bishops that vote for him.
We know which one's going, who's been working on this.
This guy.
And they keep themselves.
I've been watching what you're doing. I like what you're doing.
Yeah, dude. John Paul II, they're like, number two?
Yeah.
Number two, ready for it?
It's like being picked by a headliner to open.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, I see what you're doing.
How it should be done. Yeah. Honestly, I'm tired of the idea of social media numbers and all that.
Oh, yeah.
The legit headliners should get together and be like, this person is allowed to headline.
The other headliner should vote through who's going to come headline.
Yeah, who's going to come up. It's
all going to just be comics friends.
I know, it still will be, especially now.
It's going to be the same as like getting on anything. It's like, who do you know?
I know, you're right.
You know, there's some popes. It's like, who do you know? What bishops do you know?
Yeah, this guy came up with me in the open mic pope scene.
Open mic pope scene.
Yeah, we would try out new Bible verses on each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys heard of this one?
Trap my sermon.
Yeah.
I trapped my sermon on him. Did you guys see that film, The Two Popes?
No.
Oh, here's another one.
What?
Man, this guy saved my... I couldn't make it to a gig, and this dude came in and...
He covered for me.
He bishoped it up.
Bishoped it up.
I still get people telling me that this guy was like, Jesus!
Yeah, man. And then he shows up, and he's just like, this guy, he vouched for you.
He vouched for you. Like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I can handle the first prayer?
Yeah, man. Yeah, do the prayer. He vouched for you.
Yeah. Do the communion, bro.
He slings communion like you wouldn't believe.
No, I didn't see The Two Popes.
No.
It's
an interesting fucking movie, bro.
I'm stuck on reality shows now.
Are you really?
Yeah, man, for some weird reason.
What are you watching?
It's a phase that you're going through?
600 Pound Life.
Well, I've never watched it, but I've heard that's a good one.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid, okay.
And I'll tell you the reason I watch all of these. Naked and Afraid, 600 Pound Life. Right now, Love is Blind. It's a Netflix one.
I can tell you the reason you watch all of these.
There is a reason, but I do like the personality study of these things.
Okay.
Because it allows me, like, anytime I watch these shows, whether it's Locked Up Raw or Intervention, you know, you can see you can see people lying to themselves. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's always surprising me when people are like, you know, like, oh, I have full faith in this person or whatever. And I'm like, don't you see that they're lying to you? Don't you see that these people are excusing every bad habit away and this and that? And that's why I love watching these shows. It's a deep personality, like, kind of just watching it experiment, whether it's the people in Locked Up Raw just justifying why they're in there and how they change. Like, they have one show on Netflix where it was the guy's confession tapes or whatever, and then they would play it for the family that the guy may have murdered, and then they would record what the family thought and played it for the murderer. And it was interesting to just see how the murderer switched. So, like, there was one guy who's like, you know, I'm actually very remorseful for what I did. I'm sorry that this happened. You know, I found God. I'm in a better place. And I just want the family to know that I apologize for what I did and this and that. And I want everybody to know, like, I've really thought about it and taken it out of my head. And I just wish I didn't do it. It wasn't a dumb, you know, going on about how great he is someone. Now. Right. Yeah. They showed it to the family. And one family member was, I hope he burns in hell. Uh-huh. They played that for the killer. He's like, well, you know, fuck it. You know, fuck him. I don't give a fuck. Like, immediately. And I was like, damn, bro. You were playing this redemption card like a motherfucker. Oh, and when there was no forgiveness back, fuck this. Fuck him. Yeah. All right. I don't give a shit.
That's damn, fucking crazy. That's fucked up.
But people lie to themselves so much. You know, it's kind of like this. This is why I really, and I don't know if you guys talk politics. It's because I'm so amazed at how people don't understand the things that Trump does. And I'm just like, if you've read any personality book, if you've checked his birth date, if you've seen anything about criminals and listened to how they lie, everything from 600 pound life to fucking intervention to every one of these things.
What's his birthday have to do with it?
Because his I think he's a Gemini, and they're like,
oh, bro, don't start bringing that in here.
They're like very shady people. They bounce back and forth. You know?
But you can't like.
But everything bring that, in that, but everything and then that lines validation. Up. No, but what I'm saying is that you put the fact that his personality is the kind of guy that justifies hanging out with a Jeffrey Epstein. The fact that he comes from his father's money it's like, yeah, he never had to give a fuck about anybody. So this is all for him. And it's always amazing to me when people are shocked. Yeah. You know? Like, I'm like, how are you shocked? This is a guy in his 70s who never failed, really. Never. Always had a weird bailout, whether it's his father paying off his fucking, like, oh, shit, your casino failed. Here's money so you can just get out of it. And all this shit builds this name and how people don't understand. Yeah, he's fucking selfish. The fact that Republican senators are like, we believe he's going to get better. He's not. He's in his 70s.
Get better at what?
Just better in general.
Okay.
They acquitted him to believe that he was going to become a better person. And after
I don't think that's why they acquitted him.
But they said, we're acquitting him, and we believe he's going to be better now. Like, you'll
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Exactly. But you see it in intervention. Went to rehab for 6 months. I'm a better person, this and that.
Right.
2 weeks after they left rehab, right back into it. Fucking 600-pound life. Yeah, I'm following the doctor's diets. And then coming
is this
up
about
with
Trump being fat?
Coming up with excuses. As soon as the doctor's like, you didn't lose any weight. Well, I was going through this and that. And the doctor's like, no, you still have the choice to put food in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then them getting upset. Like, it's just, I love watching fucking basically emotional human bonfires.
I watched that show, The Curse of Oak Island. Have you heard of that one?
No.
It's a docuseries.
Yeah.
It's this island off the coast of Nova Scotia, I believe. And there's been a rumor since like the 1700s that there's this treasure buried deep in this pit.
Yeah.
And every time that, and they've actually had like real treasure hunters looking for it. They had the spot because like every 10 feet there was like logs of like oak. And then there was like a tablet that says like 40 feet below is like 100 pounds of like gold. And then then it just filled up with water and nobody could get to it. So whenever people try to dig down and get it, it just fills back up with water and they can't get to it.
Yeah.
And so these guys bought the island, and the show's about them trying to dig it up, and they can, first of all, they can't find the original pit, but they're always drilling holes looking for it, and they, they're like, it has to be here. They drill, and then there's nothing there, and they're just like, fuck, how much did that hole cost? But $1 million. We're out of money. Let's do one more. It's got to be here. And they just keep, it's just like they keep lying to themselves. But I keep watching it, and I'm like, how much money are they going to spend digging up this island? They're never going to find
it. People are insane. Crazy. Yeah.
Would they potentially make the money back if is it that much gold?
Well, they don't know what the treasure is.
Uh-huh.
It could be so many things. But what is interesting, because they keep finding shit that's predates any settlement that's there, from like shit that goes back to England from like the 1500s. Like, it's crazy, but they just never find the actual like treasure pit.
That's the entire storyline of every Uncharted video game.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
But, you know, like, it's to me, okay, so to watch a movie, what movie I liked recently, I really loved Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
But it's like, I want to go to a movie and either the story captivates me like crazy. Other than that, real life is so fucking crazy. Fire festival.
Oh, man.
I saw a documentary about a guy that bought one of those storage units. You know, like if someone doesn't pay for their storage.
Yeah,
bought it. There was a grill in there, and in the grill was a human foot.
Like a barbecue.
Storage Wars?
No. That was a documentary. Wait. About it. Did you see it?
No, there's, I think I heard about foot, that.
Right? Because the guy that owned it kept his foot because it had to get amputated, got it handled to where it could still be like whatever, I guess, just fucking
like in a glass jar?
Yeah, like that. And the guy that bought the storage thing would not let him have his foot back. And made it a tourist attraction. You want to come see the foot? And this guy, the guy that has the tourist attraction, so obsessed with fame, he's like, I knew I was going to be famous one day.
Oh, man.
And that's the byline of all of these people's insanity. Fame, this weird attraction to hopefully become famous, whether it's the guy that put on the fire festival, the motherfucker with a foot, you know, all these fucking gangsters who think that they're rapping in jail and they're going to come out and have a career, to Trump. It's all the same goddamn insanity of fame.
Everyone's insane, bro.
We're all insane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and him.
I go crazy.
I'm pretty normal.
Yeah.
What was that laugh?
Like, we all have a separate chat about how insane you are. You know that, right?
Yeah.
No, wait,
well,
what?
What is insane about Agostino?
I'm sure there's a lot.
His heart.
It's insane?
He has an insane heart.
Yes, he does.
His motherfucker's heart.
And anxiety.
Is that a good? Yeah, my anxiety. Is that a good thing?
You're very anxious.
I do have anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's insane.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Yeah. You have a crazy heart. It's in love hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing that you notice about that makes me insane.
That's why you care so much about this fucking pit bull. Because your heart's like, I'm going to take it out at night and I'm going to make sure it's safe and I love it and I want it to be.
Who,
aware.
My own pit bull?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the pit bull that killed the dog.
Yours.
I'm like, I feel bad for the little dog.
My God, that's insane. Yeah. I'm fucking
alive. I mean, dude, I like animals, bro.
You're
like
passionate.
Yeah. I like animals and people.
You're passionate.
I can be about certain things. Well, that's good. That's all good quality. See, I'm a good kind of insane.
Yeah, we're all insane. We're all psychopaths in some way.
There's no way that you're a comedian and you're not fucked up.
There's no way you're a human and not fucked up.
That's a better answer right
that's
there.
That's the thing, man. It's like people think that comics, you know, you do that to deal with the trauma. What the fuck do you do to deal with the trauma? We all have trauma.
Yeah, we all have trauma.
And it's all very varying levels of trauma. But everyone's fucked up. There's cops that are fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, those aren't the most stable motherfuckers.
I have three siblings, and we all came from the same upbringing. We have very similar lifestyles, and I'm the only one that's a comic out of them, so that's true.
Well,
it's just
too,
like everybody's
man.
Got, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm the one that's the dependable one,
mm.
which is wild. I'm like, I'm the comic. I'm not supposed to be the dependable one.
I kind of feel like that, too, in my own. What do you mean by dependable? Like, describe.
Like well, when issues were happening with certain family issues or money issues came up, it was me that they would approach.
Mm.
You know, and it was this idea that, I get it, single guy, no kids, no fucking college debt. You know what I'm saying? I don't even have a car payment. Yes, I have money. I'm not rich.
Yeah.
But I do have money because I don't have anything to really waste it on. But to be approached by your family, because I know how much I make. It's not that much.
Yeah.
You know, but to be approached like, hey, I'm in a tight spot. I need this. You know? Yeah. It's like, fuck, I'm the one?
So you're the one with, so from what, siblings, parents, relatives?
Yeah, siblings and parents. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, relatives never approach, thank God. I wouldn't answer anyway.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're not that close with any of your relatives?
No. No, 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 no. I'm pretty, I just never got close with them in that sense. Yeah. And they all have brothers and sisters that are doing way better than me.
Yeah, so they're not going to come
to you.
Just
immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? So is it just financially?
Yeah, and it just recently it was emotional stress, shit like that. You know, like having to handle. My dad passed away in August.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, well, I didn't really put it out there. Well, it wasn't you. right. But yeah, he passed away in August, you know, and then got cremated. He took care of everything, paid off. He knew he was gonna die. We all knew it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were just waiting. It was surprising it he stayed on as long as he did. It's still a shock. Every now and then you still have these moments where it hits you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his Facebook had popped up on my feed for some reason. And that kind of, like, took me a little step back.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like, that's right. That was my – I was able to hug this man, and now I will never be able to, right?
So you had a good relationship with him? Because You talked to about your mom a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I had a great relationship with my dad.
Were they still married?
No, divorced. Okay. My dad was a ultimate father. Like, his goal – his sole purpose in life – especially towards the end, was, are my kids taken care of? Like, that's it. It's all he focused on. Never found another wife. Never dated anybody else that we know of. It was all, after the divorce, it was just, make sure my kids are taken care of. You know, and all that's all he focused on, right? Yeah. So there was no sense of, like, drama between me and him because it was just getting the work done. Being alive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he did, you know, the thing is that he was also very sensitive, so we had to call and make sure that he knew that we loved him and stuff like that.
How often would you call him?
I wish it was more.
Yeah.
That's it.
But did you speak to him weekly?
I don't even think weekly, man. I try to. I just would get caught up. We had different hours or whatever. Then when he was on Facebook, it was easier to communicate with him because then it was like, oh, he's up at 3 a.m. just like me.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we would talk and do that. You know what I'm saying? So I would talk to him more through Facebook than phone calls. Because phone calls are quick, especially with dad. Dad's like, how you doing? Everything good? All right. You know, and we started saying I love you maybe 7 years ago as a family.
Huh.
We didn't say it when we were kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then it was like, I love you too. And then that, you know, kind of letting it be known that it was that. So, yeah, it was phone calls were always quick, so we got more out of chatting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So he passed. Obviously, have to deal with his house, everything else.
Yeah.
You know, sisters are going through some emotional shit. Older sisters freaking out, everything. You know what I'm saying? Family's going through stuff, whatever. And it ended up all on me to make sure that we got the estate sale done, make sure we knew it was going to get the house, that just kind of handle all these things from California. And to me, it was like, this is, I don't, why is it me?
Yeah. Are you the only boy?
I don't know. Yeah.
And you have how many older sisters?
Just two sisters. Two older sisters. One younger.
See, and you're the youngest? Well, you have an older, one younger, you said. Okay, yeah. See, I'm the youngest. I'm the only boy, too. And I feel like that's going to, and also some stuff already is on me.
You have to be the weird decider, and a lot of it's like, I don't know. This is what I kind of know.
Yeah.
So I set out the ground rules and laid it out, and you know, nobody was talking to each other, whatever, and got it all done. But waiting to process the grief that long, because my older sister wanted to officially bury him on his birthday, which was December 25th. No, we're not going to have a funeral on fucking Christmas. Right,
his birthday is December 25th.
Yeah, so I said have it after, but that's the hardest time to travel for everybody. It's the hardest time to get it all together. But that's when my older sister wanted to do it.
But he passed in August.
Passed in August, got cremated, so we just had him.
Oh, so the urn was just there. Were just talking about a funeral, like a
just
memorial,
putting the urn into the ground. You know, and so it finally came through. But waiting that long, because, you know, you need to process that grief. You need that moment of, I need to get this sadness out. And going to, you know, my dad's hometown, being around his family, you know, my uncles and stuff like that, who I haven't seen in a while.
Was he in Texas?
Yeah, South Texas, next to the border, real Grand City, you know? Then it was like, I got to carry him into the church. You know, my dad, for some reason, bought this casing around his fucking urn that was heavy.
Really?
Yeah. So I walked it in. It kind of looked like an upside-down cooler, but it was ceramic. You know, like just a little drink cooler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I bring it. I have to walk it in a church, right? So I walk it in. Luckily, we get there before most of the family. I put it down. I joke. I'm like, oh, the tamales are in here, guys, right? And whatever. They kind of laughed. Then we sat down. And then nobody told me I had to walk him out, too. You know, because it's not like a casket, it's just an urn. Mm-hmm. So we're just sitting there, the priest leaves, and then finally my aunt turns and is like, hey, go. And I'm like, what? I was like, oh, I got to pick him up, and they didn't show me, like, I walk him back through the front or the side. What am I doing?
Yeah.
So now I got to walk him out, wait for my little sister to come open up the car so I could put him in, take him to the gravesite. Now we got to lower him in, right? It's decided that me and my sister would do it. And then they wanted me to give a speech. And I was like, a speech?
You didn't know any of that, though, ahead of time?
No. I was like, man, I don't know what to say. Like, you're his brothers and sisters and stuff like that. I got it. So I said something. Luckily, an old – because my dad's family is very not outwardly emotional. Like, they don't – they're not good at that. So a lot of the emotion was held in, right? And one of the things my dad said, he had a little things to do after I die at my funeral. No crying, play music. Have a drink for me, Nick, right? Because he knew I was sober back when he wrote this.
Oh.
Have a drink for me, whatever. So one of his sisters got a tequila bottle, a bunch of little red cups, passed it around. We took a shot on behalf of my dad. I had to pour the shot into his thing, right? And then we were done. And then, they wanted me to do a toast. And I was like, I just did a speech. I was like, what toast am I going to do? Like, nobody has anything else to say? The only other person that spoke was his... He was a teacher, right? First grade teacher, was a superintendent he worked with. And that was the only other person that spoke. Thank God for that person, because they had a good story and a good closer.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, thank – and nobody else said a thing.
He headlined the funeral.
Dude, thank God for that man, because it's like, great, you said it. You said what needed to be said.
So when did you actually have the funeral?
December 28th.
It was it was right after Christmas.
Yeah.
So from August, you just –
Yeah, and I found out fucking right before a show. I was going to headline the St. Louis, or I think it was St. Louis, for the first time ever, and Thursday was when I found out, like the first show.
Yeah.
And I was walking to the club.
Wait, when you found out what?
My mom texted me, your father passed.
Okay, I thought you meant you found out when the funeral
I found out that he died, and I was like,
man,
now I got to go do this show.
Yeah. How'd you pull through the show?
I just did it.
Yeah,
you just do
you
it.
You just do it, man. You just sit. Then afterwards, I was like fucking broken down about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God I was smoking weed by then.
When did your mom text you? Early in the day?
No. 10 minutes before the show.
10 minutes before the show.
Yeah. She didn't know I was probably walking up to a show. So
of course
it was like
not.
Afternoon, whatever.
You know what, bro? When I go on the road, I always like try to keep my, you know, I try to turn my phone off.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't do that all day because, like, I'm always worried that something bad happened at the house
or
something like that. And then so I keep it on. But then again, like, what the fuck am I going to do if I find out in a half hour from now or if I find out now?
Yeah.
I just turn my phone off before I go on stage.
My ringer's always off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I happen to catch a phone call, that means I just happen to be looking at my phone when it happened.
Where was I? I think I was in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I was about to walk up on stage and Jen texted me that there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
But not there was an earthquake. There is an earthquake happening right now. Like she texted me like, holy shit, like there's a crazy earthquake, you know what I mean? Like what do? Do I take the dog? Do we get out of here and all this stuff like that? And I was just like seconds before they call me to the stage. And I'm just sitting there going like, I should just turn my phone off. All it's gonna do is worry me. I'm in another state. What am I gonna do?
That's true.
Nothing. You can't do anything.
You know. And I'm like, I told her, and I was like, "Are you okay?" And she, like right before I was walking on stage, and she was like, "I think it stopped." And I was like, "Don't fucking text me before I go on stage." That's funny. But yeah, man. So you found out in August you were doing the show. So then you got through the shows. Obviously, yeah. You know, you're
yeah.
You
even had the owner, the owner didn't even know until the last day.
Oh really?
Yeah, because it finally like I just didn't tell them.
Yeah.
I told the opener because he was with me, like afterwards and hanging out and took me to eat and I was like, yeah, I just found out my father passed away. Whatever. And yeah, the owner had no clue.
Man.
Because I'm not. That's how were the not shows? Me. They're fine.
They're fine, right?
Yeah, no, it was a great round of shows because you do the job.
You're right.
You know, it's it. Like, those people aren't there to hear your song. If you take something happening in the moment on stage with you and there's no joke to it, that's selfish.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they're not there for your sadness.
Well, I wasn't going to say talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I was like, you don't do that to them.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely not talk about it, but I don't know if like the mood.
Well, and also you haven't even processed it. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna say to these strangers?
Yeah.
Who all came out for a good time, and what you're asking for is a pity.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, have pity on me. It's like, no, do the job, kill it, let them go home and live their life. You go grieve on your own.
So did you go home to Texas at all between finding out that your father passed away?
I went immediately after the...
the show?
Yeah.
Just to be with your mom and stuff, or to be with the family?
To go down there with the family, figure it out, you know. Yeah. Basically be there for a little bit, figure, you know.
It's a lot of work.
It was a lot.
It's a lot to do. You know, you want to grieve, and then you have to, like, well, I have to deal with all of this stuff.
Yeah. And then my dad had a... he's a collector. Mm. You know, a massive amount of things that he collected. And it was the idea of dealing with that.
Because, like, some siblings probably want to keep some of it. Some of them want to sell some of it.
Yeah. And what to keep and what
to
sell. It
sucks when people pass away, you know. Like, you just want to mourn.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Your loved one. How but long, there's so much the... money. And I hate when money gets involved and people start arguing with each other.
Yeah.
How long of a break did you take after that happened when you went back?
I just took that weekend off.
Just that weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's like, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it hits you. And I was talking to another comic who her father had passed years ago. And she said, I would have these moments where I would get very anxious or whatever. And she finally spoke to her friend who's a therapist and like, oh, I'm surprised you're not having anxiety attacks. And that's when the comic realized that she was. So, you know, it's a thing that once a parent dies, it just hits you. It softens after a while, you know, and I'm told that it randomly hits you when it doesn't happen as much as it did right at the moment. And it depends on how they pass, too. You know,
yeah.
Like I knew my father was going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew we all knew. We're just waiting for the call. But there are those moments where it kind of just.
How old was he?
He was born in 53.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Late 60s, I think.
Yeah, late 60s, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but was he ill?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was on an oxygen tank, couldn't leave the house.
Uh-huh.
That's the other
was
thing.
Was it a cancer or no?
It was a mix of things.
Okay.
You know, that's...
66.
Yeah, 66. That's the other thing is that the... So what you have to do is, in this process, hopefully it's not tragic. Luckily for me, it wasn't tragic. I don't think my dad's passing was tragic. Because I know that he lived his life and got what he wanted. I had to talk to one of my siblings about that too, because in their head it was like, he could have done so much more. I was like, he lived exactly how he wanted. He became a great father. His kids had kids. He became a great grandfather to not only grandsons and granddaughter. And if you know where he comes from, that's success.
Yeah. You know? And it sounded like he enjoyed himself, too. Like, he had his house. He liked his place. He liked collecting his stuff.
And, you know, the fact that he was at that point where he couldn't leave and do things, you know, like, nobody wants to go through that. Your house is a jail at that point. Mm-hmm. So you are happy that they are free from that.
Did your mom ever remarry?
Yeah, she did.
Is she currently married still?
Yeah, yeah.
To the same guy?
Yeah. She only married one other guy.
You like the stepdad?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
How'd she take it, though?
That's not even like a stepdad, though, to me.
Yeah?
Because I was already like 18, 19 or
Oh, when she married him. So it's just, it's the mom's husband.
Yeah, it's my mom's husband. Yeah. It's not like a stepdad.
But how did she take it when your dad passed? Your mom?
It hit her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Were they together for a long time?
Probably my entire, older sister's maybe like 18, 19 years, maybe like
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know.
Oh, it's not. Well, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm sorry. I just mean, you know, for your loss.
Yeah. And
if I had known, you know, I would have probably called you more or checked on you more at the time.
Well, I don't put it out there.
I know.
There was time I
respect
about
the
it.
Shit out of that dude. I'm sorry to some people. Everybody grieves on their own. Yeah, but some people, when they post it on Facebook, I'm just like, yeah, you just wanted attention.
No, exactly.
I'm sorry for your loss, but you just wanted attention.
Yeah, I didn't want
to
post
there's
it
out
a there.
Way to do it, too. Like, you can tell people are just letting people know, but then there's people that are really, like, just kind of, I don't know. I guess it's like a you have to know people type of thing. I can tell people are just milking it. I admire a lot that you didn't put it on blast or go around telling everybody.
Yeah, it was.
But had I known, I would have called you more. You know what I mean?
Thanks,
no, dude, because when you lose somebody, that's it hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you know, like you said, your dad lived a great life and you saw it coming. It wasn't unexpected.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're thinking about it late at night,
it hits late at night
is when things hurt, bro.
It hits a little bit.
And you said that you always stay up late. I know you're a late night guy. And then you said, like, oh, I found out my dad was too because he was always on Facebook at 3 a.m. Bro, that's when it starts to hit you when you're fucking
Yeah, man.
You know, it fucking hurts. I would have called you more if I had known. But, yeah, dude, I have a friend who this Thanksgiving lost his mom, and then by Christmas his dad.
Oh man!
It was you know him too, which I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you his name afterward. But I mean, not that there's any secret. I just I don't know if he wants people to know.
How old are the parents?
I'd say like 70 tops.
Yeah, you know,
but it was both cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. Yeah, you know. It's funny because I read somewhere. It's not funny, it's fun, but I read somewhere. It's this kind of funny, factual funny, that a lot of deaths do occur closer to the holidays because the human mind wills itself to say, "I don't want to ruin the holidays." So you'll see a lot happen either right on or after.
But isn't that ruining the holidays?
But the body's trying. Like, the body's trying to get past it. So a lot of deaths happen immediately after Christmas.
I'm sure people that realize that I don't have much longer are in their minds going, like, let me just get through the holidays and not do this to everybody.
Let me get them through this.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, why can't I be a decent person and go in the summer?
Yeah. Just be done in spring.
Yeah. Which your dad did.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He went out in August, man.
Hey, you guys, that was the first half of the episode with Nick Guerra. We're splitting up this episode into parts one and two just because, listen, it was a long conversation, not the longest one that we've ever done, but it just felt like it should be split up into two because we were just hitting a lot of different areas. You know, you heard the first half, and it just goes on for there. And so just tune back in for the next episode, which is released next week. As you know, we try to do two episodes a week here. I typically release one on Friday, so this one's coming out on Friday, and then the first episode next week, our first one, which usually comes out Tuesday morning, is going to be the continuation of this episode. So it's just getting into a little bit deeper, and we start to talk about Nick's HBO special, which is coming out soon, and how his thoughts on his father, like, you know, not getting to see it and stuff, but the other stuff that he got to see. So just more about that. So we just thought we'd split them up into two episodes. So this was the first one. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Before I go, I want to give some shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Smooth X Salt. I want to give a shout out to my dude, West Coast Italian. Thank you for always keeping in touch. I want to give a shout out to Sean Weldon. And let's see what we got here. Ladao Angel, Andrea 33, Dr. Vid City Devil, and Re887. These are some Instagram shout outs I'm doing this week. Just thank you to those shout outs because people show me love. They listen to the podcast, they contact me online. So that's why I want to show some love. and because you showed me love. And then I just want to give a shout out to every single person that listens to this podcast. If you want to reach out to me on social media, please do. I'm at Augustino Zoida on everything, okay, you guys, on everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I'm on there. And if you're not sure how to reach me, you can always go to the website homeschooledpod.com and click on contact, and that's going to let you send me an email. Those go directly to me. Bear with me, but I will answer them. I try to get to them as fast as they can in the order they come in, so bear with me. And while you're on the website, you can click on tour and see the upcoming tour dates, and everything's on there. I mean, you can click on my bio page, just so, you know, if you want a little bit more information about stuff and what's going on. I also got merch, so go head on over and click on merch and check it out, the Homeschool Podcast merch. We have the ex-president series of the Homeschool Podcast design, and that is going to be going away once we hit episode 300, which is coming up. So I'm not going to sell those t-shirts anymore. So the ex-president series is going to be a limited edition. You're not going to be able to get those anymore. It's only for people that were listening to the podcast between episode 200 and 300. So go ahead and grab those, you guys, while you still can. The ex-president series, it's a badass design for the Homeschool Podcast. It says Homeschool Podcast on it. It's a very California themed look. And you have the classic Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon masks, like from the movie Point Break. And it's actually me and Kevin wearing the mask, though, on the t-shirt. I don't know if you could tell that because it's actually a really good job. But just check it out, you guys. Head over to homeschooledpod.com. Click on merch. I have hoodies, sweatshirts, cell phone cases, stickers, pillows, mugs. I have yoga pants for the chicks as well as tank tops. I got tank tops for dudes. And I just now released gym bags. We have some awesome Homeschool Podcast gym bags and tote bags, you know, so when you're doing your shopping and you don't want to pay the 10 cents for the bag, you bring your little tote bag with you, rocking the homeschool. Anyway, you guys, I appreciate all the love and support. I hope you enjoyed the first half of this episode, and please come back and see us and listen to the second half, and come back and see us anyway. I got a lot of great guests coming up. And if, by the way, I try to be really good about it. So far, I'm good about it. On the website, when you click on podcast, homeschoolpod.com, click on podcast, just scroll down a little bit below all the links of where you can listen to it. Below there, I actually keep a schedule of the upcoming guests. I mean, sure, sometimes they change because guests cancel and stuff, but that's actually how I also keep track of the guests that I have coming on. So I have great guests coming up, and I hope that you guys... I hope that you guys continue to listen to the Homeschool Podcast. That's pretty much it, you guys. I'll see you next week. Listen, it's Friday. It's the end of the week. You made it. And you know what that means? We're going out with a bang. And that's why I'm playing my traditional Friday going out with a bang song. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is the Homeschool Podcast. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all. Fuck that noise. We know what song we need. Told ya.
Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya.